This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
And welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Hope you enjoyed your weekend. It is 1 o'clock here on the East, 12 Central. We got you every day here on the show from noon to 2 Eastern talking fantasy sports with you. So get on the grid with us each and every day. We got you covered. I'm Craig Mish. Davis Maddock has the day off. George Kurtz is going to join us in a little bit. We'll wrap back and forth about some of the things going on in fantasy football and, of course, baseball tomorrow night, the American League wild card. Wednesday, the National League wild card. Looking forward to those two games, and the division series begin on Thursday. But for those of you who are looking for fantasy points tonight because you're down in your league, I think you're probably going to be in luck. It is the Chargers and Raiders tonight with a high total and a Chargers -3 spread. So who knows what goes tonight. A lot of Raiders fans, no doubt, going to be in Los Angeles to see this one, the former home of the Raiders. Clemson wins. They fall out of the top 25 for the first time since 2014. Jimmy G, Teddy B, David Montgomery, all leaving the game yesterday with injuries. It looks like Garoppolo could be out a week or two. Teddy Bridgewater with a concussion, still unclear. David Montgomery looks like he's going to be out this week, but still unclear there as well. By the way, all five quarterbacks yesterday played significant snaps between Trevor Lawrence on Thursday and Zach Wilson last night, who played pretty well. Justin Fields, a little shaky. And then, of course, Mac Jones, no doubt about that. And Davis Mills actually was a third-round pick as well, as we welcome in my co-host for today, George Kurtz. And, George, you know, certainly the quarterbacks were the story at the beginning of the fantasy season, but they have yet to really hit pay dirt. I know that they've all had their moments this season, but this notion that we were going to have three or four rookie quarterbacks by October come in and be great is definitely not the case at the start of the season. Hope you're well, George.
I am well. Listen, Yankees made the wild card, Cowboys won. How much better can I be? I think, once again, we are the microwave society. We want everything right away. We want these guys to come in from college and be great from week one. And we sort of, all we remember, Craig, is what the quarterbacks that have done that. You know, the Matt Ryans, the Roethlisbergers, Lamar Jacksons, guys who have come on recently. But for every one that does it, there are four or five who don't. You know, you and I growing up, we remember quarterbacks sat on the bench for three, four seasons before they played. Yeah. All right? Because you had to learn the game. NFL is tough to play in the NFL. Now, no. We drafted you. We're paying you. You play. Yeah, I get it. The new CBA, you can't wait either. You got really 3 years to make up your mind on these guys. Then, hey, you're done. You're terrible. We're moving on here. So we are the microwave society. We want it done now. I'm not surprised that most of these guys have struggled. I think they will get better. I think that's the important part to see, is they have to get better to eventually be that guy that you drafted.
And so how did you do yesterday in DFS and season long? What do you think you're going to be heading into? I'm going to need Herbert and Waller to outscore
Williams tonight to be 4-0 in one league and improve to 3-1 in another.
Tonight's not going to mean that much for me, believe it or not. Most of my leagues are decided already. It's been a weird year, Craig. Every other week, for week one and week three, the odd weeks, my teams were terrible. The even weeks, they've been good. The 11 leagues I'm in, I think I'm going to go 9-2. Sounds great. Last week was almost the exact reverse. All right, so it's been a weird, weird kind of year. So it is what it is here. Tonight's more of a night, as far as fantasy is concerned, I can enjoy. I do have some players, but like I said, those leagues were already decided, so I'm not going to be sweating anything out, at least not on the fantasy side of it. There may be a prop bet or two where I'll be sweating, but I guess that's good or bad, depending how things work out. But my fantasy league, like in my mind, just been strange for my teams this year. I haven't had a season like this in a while where it's every other week, and next week is week five, an odd week. Oops.
Yeah, I think we're going to have some interesting waiver discussions this week if Mixon is out and if Montgomery is out, I think for sure. What, George, before we break here, what was your biggest takeaway from yesterday? I know that up in your neck of the woods in New York, you had both your teams win, Jets and Giants. That was probably important. Any other big fantasy takeaways from yesterday?
Well, both New Jersey teams won, right? All right. With the Jets and I think we had a lot of weird stats. What was the last time the Jets and Giants both won in overtime same day? Never.
Right.
Never. Right. You would have bet that. You'd be rich right now if you would have bet that. Other than that, you know, Dallas beats the 3-0 Carolina Panthers. We sort of had a lot of come to Jesus moments here about how good these teams really are, stuff like that. I think tonight, the one interesting stat, tonight's game, this is the first time the Chargers and Raiders will play each other with both teams being over 500 since 2002. Think about that. 19 years, these two teams haven't played each other with both being over 500. That is amazing to me.
Yeah, no, I mean, and not only that, but the Raiders fans, of course, you know, playing in Los Angeles, then playing in Oakland. I'm sorry, starting in Oakland, going to Los Angeles, going back to Oakland, now to Las Vegas. You would guess that a lot of fans will be, Raider Nation will be very heavily represented in Los Angeles tonight. Speaking of which, coming up next, we're going to give you some opportunities here for some prop bets in this game tonight, courtesy of the Underdog app. So stay on the grid for that. Then George and I will go through all the late games in the NFL yesterday, including Tom Brady's return home to New England. So make sure you stay on the grid right here on Fantasy Sports Today. By the way, we're here every day, noon to 2 Eastern on the East, talking fantasy with you. On tomorrow's show, we'll break down the Monday Night Football matchup, and hopefully I'll come away with a couple of victories in my fantasy leagues as well.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Previews of the wild card game tomorrow in the American League, and then on Wednesday of the National League Division Series later in the week. We're going to have a great week here on Fantasy Sports Today. Hopefully you'll be with us for the entire week, but we got to take a quick break. We'll be back with more FST. Craig Mish, George Kurtzen for Davis Maddock. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Happy Monday. Welcome back. Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. We've got a Monday night game to discuss tonight. Of course, should be a good one. Raiders and Chargers. Raiders could improve to 4-0, George, tonight. I mean, of all the surprises this season, I mean, I suppose Arizona is a pretty significant surprise. Some people thought they'd be decent. They're playing a lot better than they are. But the Raiders, definitely one of the bigger NFL surprises thus far, no?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, come on. How much money would we have won, Craig, if we would have said, you know, come October 4th, week 4, the last two undefeated teams are the Cardinals and the Raiders? All right, no one's buying that. No one. So, yeah, I think it's they're both a surprise here. We were worried about the Cardinals' defense. You know, would it be able to hold up? It's been their bugaboo. We knew they could score points. And the Raiders, you were, same thing. Would their defense be able to stop anybody? Or were they an automatic over every game here? Which, by the way, they are.
All right, let's take a look tonight at promo code to get you started over on Underdog. For those of you who are thinking about getting involved tonight on the app, just download it and you'll be all set. Our promo code is GRID, gives you an extra deposit, a little bit of extra money on your first deposit. So go ahead and head over there. Now, George, let's dive into some of the props here. And let's take a look specifically and start off with Derek Carr, the quarterback of the Las Vegas Raiders. I believe over on Underdog, his prop tonight is 282 and a half passing yards. So we'll go one by one through these. Let's start off with Carr. And again, on the Monday night pick 'em, you got to pick two here or more on the parlay. But Carr tonight against the Chargers. I guess it just supposed overall, George, what you think about this game tonight. Last night, pretty good example of a game that went way under everybody's expectations. What do you think about tonight?
Well, last night's game went under. Always one of the reasons it went under was because of the weather, right? It rained throughout that game. It's funny, in HD, it always looks like it's monsooning there. I don't know if it was really much more than normal rain there. But it looked like Brady had trouble gripping the football for whatever reason. He couldn't quite get the accuracy he normally has. Mac Jones didn't have the same issue. He looked good. It could have been the emotions with Brady and everything else. Who knows? Whatever. But I think that's one of the reasons why that game went under. I think points are coming tonight. I just think points are coming tonight. I think right now, if you're going under here, then you think the Raiders are going to lose this game. That's the way I would correlate the two. I think the Raiders to win that game. Carr almost certainly has to go with 300 yards here. I think it's going to be a good game. I'm going over here.
All right, so over 282 on Carr. Now, George, we've seen Henry Ruggs start to come more alive in the Raiders' offense, and that's probably been a big reason why they're playing better. His total tonight over on Underdog is 44 and a half. And what's interesting, George, it's like if you told me that Ruggs caught two passes tonight, I think that this is a guarantee going over. But sometimes he's just like not involved at all in the game plan. If he is, does he go over this?
Yeah, if he's involved in the game plan, he definitely goes over. And like you said, I don't need him to catch a bunch of balls. He's not the guy I need five catches from. Hell, I might need one catch from him. They're going to take their deep shots. All right, that's going to happen here. He's averaging almost six targets a game here. So he's going to get his shots there. No doubt about that. He's hit this target in every game against better defenses, you know, so all these good defenses. I'm going to say better. Chargers have a good defense here. So yes, if I'm going Carr over 300, I think Ruggs gets it as well here. So give me both over again.
All right. Now I need Darren Waller to have a decent night tonight. And really a 7-catch, 70-yard night would be fine for me, but his total tonight over on Underdog, George, is 68 and a half. Waller, after week one, looked like a guy that was going to catch 10 balls for 100 yards every game, and he's been sort of quiet after that first week. But the Raiders are winning. Will they change the script? Does this go back to Waller tonight?
Well, for me, it's two things here. One, if it ain't broke, you don't fix it, right? You're winning games. So I'm not trying to fix it. That being said, is it because they aren't throwing him the ball or because defense is saying, not him, anybody but him? You know, you can find somebody else to beat us. That's my worry there, Craig, is that defense taking him away here. And Chargers, I wonder if they'll play it the exact same way. They're middle of the road against tight ends, a little bit on the high where they do give up yards to tight ends. So I think the opportunities will be there. This is a high total. Once again, I can make the same argument that I made. If I think Carr's going over 300, he gets a two, but Carr's going over 400 and not necessarily with Waller. I'm going to stay. This won't be one of my two. I do lean towards the over, but it will not be one of my two. If I'm only going two, I'd rather not touch this.
Very disappointing for me. All right. Justin Herbert, his total is extremely high. 300 passing yards tonight. That is his over under. I mean, that's a big number, George.
And look, Herbert pretty much is getting close to or hitting this number on a weekly basis. The Raiders defense has played much better than we thought. Is this the night where the Raiders defense comes back to earth?
I don't like this. It is a high total for Herbert. I don't think the Chargers necessarily want to get into a shootout with the Raiders, where they want to throw them up and down the field and go point for point with them. I think they're going to want to play a little bit more balanced football here. That being said, we know you can throw against the Raiders. You can. All teams have done that. This is another close one. It's not an automatic for me at all. If you're playing an underdog, I'm looking for the one automatic. Usually you can find that, which I'm wondering if it's the Ruggs one. I think that might be your automatic, and then you're finding the other one you like here. This would not be the other one I like, but once again, I think tonight's a high-scoring game. I do. I think it's one of these 28-27 games, 31-27. I think there's a game tomorrow when you and I are on the show. We're going to be talking about, wow, what a game, exciting, fun, lots of points. Fantasy goodness for everybody here. I'm going to go over again here. I'm leaning towards the over, but it's not one of my two.
All right, so hopefully we find an under here on one of these two here. Austin Eckler, George's total between rushing and receiving is 94 yards. Now, look, Eckler can go over this just on receiving alone, but the Chargers, simply put, they tend to make Eckler a big part of the game plan in games where they're competitive. When they're not, it sort of slips away a little bit, it feels like, with Eckler. But we would expect this game to be competitive tonight.
I do. I get what you're saying. Because when it's not competitive, maybe say we're not going to bang him up, whatever it might be. Let's get him out of there. He does get hurt quite a bit here. Once again, this is one of my favorites, by the way. I like this over. I love combinations while receiving and rushing yardage here. And this is not a high combination here. If you think it's going to be a high-scoring game, Echo's going to have plenty of opportunities. And if the Raiders can get Herbert, he's a nice little outlet there. And he'll have designs. He'll have design plays where he's going to get the ball, little flip-outs, which are pretty much all run plays here. I think it's over 100 yards total in rushing and receiving. So, yes, I like this one a lot. This is one of my favorites.
Okay. And then finally, the breakout star thus far one of the breakout stars, at least, of the 2021 fantasy football season has been Mike Williams, but kind of flying under the radar a lot, George, until tonight, that's for sure, because everyone's going to get to see him play on Monday Night Football. And Williams, he's never shown anything like this in the past. So there's a lot of reason to believe that he could just come crashing down to earth or maybe even gets hurt. I mean, this has been part of who he's been. 74 and a half receiving yards. If he's anything like the first 3 weeks, he's smashing this total and going over. But then again, it's Mike Williams, so you never really know.
Well, would this be the case? Right, you said it. He's one of the breakout stars this year because we haven't seen this before. Now we're all on him. We all want him. We're all going to bet over, and he'll be a dud. Right, be an absolute dud here. Keenan Allen's a little banged up in this game. By the way, he's going to play. No problems there. But he was a little banged up, and I wonder if that makes Williams even more dangerous. I'm over on everybody else. Why stop now? Give me the over.
Wow. Overs across the board from George. Okay, so George, who are your favorite two? Give me the two, the pairing tonight for underdog.
Eckler's definitely one of my favorite two. I think, once again, if you're not asking for me to get over 100, I think really I'm looking at 102.5 would be the number. I would take Eckler everywhere, not just on underdog, by the way. I like him a lot here. And I'm leaning towards Ruggs because you're not asking for much. I can get that in one play. You've seen the targets here. 5-7-7, right. That's how much he's got in each game here. They're going to take their shots. I probably just need at most two catches, maybe one. Give me Eckler and Ruggs.
All right, there you go. Make sure you download the Underdog app. Use the promo code GRID, G-R-I-D. That gets you in a free wager tonight with your first deposit, courtesy of the Underdog app. We'll take a quick timeout when we come back. It's time for us to take a look at the later games yesterday in the NFL. Those, of course, include the NFC West showdown between the Arizona Cardinals and Los Angeles Rams. Also, Seattle goes to Minnesota, takes care of business there. We'll talk about those from a fantasy standpoint. We've got fantasy or reality of the Sports Grid 60 as well, so stay on the grid. George Kurtz in for Davis Maddock. I'm Craig Mish here with you on this Monday, and we'll be back with more fantasy sports today here on Sports Grid in just 2 minutes, so stay on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Craig Mish, along with George Kurtz, who's in for Davis today. And the Arizona Cardinals are undefeated in 2021. What a great start they have gotten off to. And the most impressive win of them all had to be yesterday in Los Angeles. Let's get to the fantasy standouts on the side of the Cardinals. Kyler Murray, 268 passing yards, 39 rushing yards, and two touchdowns. Chase Edmonds had a long run late in this game to get him to 120 rushing yards, also four receptions. But James Conner, what a surprise he's been. Goal line guy for the Cardinals and is taking advantage of every opportunity. 50 rushing yards and two scores. A.J. Green, shockingly good for me yesterday, too. 5 for 67 in a score. And then Max Williams has been a part of Arizona's offense. Discarded former first-round pick from Baltimore. He has 5 receptions, 66 yards, and a touchdown yesterday. So, George, before we get to the Rams, let's talk about the Cardinals here for a minute. Connor has been viable as a starter. A.J. Green all of a sudden has been viable as a starter. And this was a pretty easy to tell for me letdown game. It was one of the games I used in one of the contests I was in yesterday, just because the line was low and it just felt like after the Rams got that big win against the Bucks, they were due for a letdown. But letdown is one thing. They just got smashed by Arizona. Really impressive.
You know, and it should – I agree with you, by the way. It did seem to be a letdown game, but it shouldn't have been a letdown game. You were playing a divisional game against a 3-0 opponent, and that's a letdown. I mean, that I may show you something about the team. For a veteran team, that shouldn't have happened. So, you know, you got to be like Bill Parcells and, I guess, hang the mousetraps. You know, don't bite the cheese. That's a sort of thing there. So, weird game. As for the Cardinals – Connor is, trying to figure a right phrase here I could say on this show, annoying me. All right, I might have said something else on a different show. He's annoying me because I have Chase Edmonds in a league or two, and Connor is the definition of touchdown deodorant. And he's getting you touchdowns each and every week. He's stealing them all. He's the goal line guy there, and he's getting them all. All right, I'm not saying Edmonds should get them all, but maybe half. Am I asking for too much here? So that's what Connor's doing here. As for A.J. Green, I think Hopkins is still banged up. And he's still banged up, so A.J. Green is – benefiting from that because they're going to him, the next big guy on the lineup there, which is great. It's working for them. You know, you got Hopkins, the best player on the team, banged up, and you're still winning games. And you got Green, you got Kirk, you got Rondell Moore. So you're not really losing anything. Eventually that will catch up with them, but it's not right now. It's not right now. This allows Hopkins to get healthy. This team is rolling right now. Kyler Murray is playing on a different level. He's feeling it. Now, they were sort of like this last year too, and they came back down to earth as we went deeper into the season here. So we'll see what happens again. But right now, this team is rolling. Most importantly to me, Craig, I kind of expected this from the offense. They were going to score points. It's the defense that I had my doubts about. And right now, I'm not saying they're the best teams. They're not great, but they're better than I thought they would be, and they're at least good.
All right, let's go to the Rams here. Matthew Stafford, probably his toughest game thus far this season, just 280 passing yards, 21 rushing yards, two touchdowns, one interception. Darrell Henderson played a ton, especially after Sony Michel fumbled. That was pretty much the end of him, and I think that could be the end of Sony Michel. But 89 rushing yards for Henderson, also 5 receptions. Van Jefferson, a big part of the offense, 6 for 90 in a score. Finally, a quiet Cooper Kupp game. And I know the stat line at the end of the game, George, showed Robert Woods 4 for 48 and a touchdown. But if you watch the game, then you would see that Woods was not part of the game plan at all until the last play of the game where he scored a touchdown and then the game ended because it was just irrelevant. So still concerning for me with Woods. But the good news was that Henderson was back and he was healthy and playing a lot. And maybe we got to bump up Van Jefferson a little bit. He seems to be more viable than Woods at this point.
Agreed. I think what's happening with Woods is this. I don't think there's anything wrong with Woods, and I don't think he's necessarily not in the game plan. Stafford just doesn't look for him. I think that's your issue here. Over a third of the targets are going to Kupp, including yesterday. Just because he had a bad numbers doesn't mean Stafford wasn't looking for him. I think it was 34% of the targets went to him yesterday, so he's still looking for him no matter what. That's his first read, maybe his second read. Jefferson seems to be that third. That's the second read after that. And then it's maybe Woods, but then the tight end's coming to play as well here. So I don't think he's not part of the game plan per se. It's not Stafford's favorite. A new quarterback changes things up, right? We always worry about this. Who's going to be his guy? You know, in this case, his guy is definitely Kupp. They're BFFs. And Van seems to be number two there, and it's limiting what Woods can do. So you said you're starting to worry, or you're still worried? I am very worried here. I have Woods in at least one league, maybe two. there's not much I can do. I know in the one league, I don't really have anybody else to replace him. I really have to hope this works out here. But the other league, I do. And he's going to be a guy, someone I'm probably going to have to seriously consider benching now, because I almost want to wait now until he gets – I don't need to have a big game, but I need the targets to increase. Well, okay, at least he's being used by Stafford. Right now I'm worried that he's not going to be.
All right, let's move over to Seattle and San Francisco. A competitive game toward the end, but, of course, injury to Jimmy Garoppolo sort of changed the trajectory of this one. So Russell Wilson only threw 23 passes in this, 149 passing yards. He did get three touchdowns and a rushing touchdown out of it, so salvaged that day. Alex Collins was the leading rusher for Seattle with 44 on the ground, also scored a touchdown. DK Metcalf caught four balls, 65 yards, and a touchdown. Lockett was very quiet. Freddie Swain had three receptions, 20 yards, and a touchdown. Now let's move over very quickly to San Francisco, where Jimmy Garoppolo was injured, looks to be a possible game-time decision or maybe not even playing this week. 14 of 23, 165 passing yards, one touchdown, one pick. So we got our first extensive look at Trey Lance, and it did not look great. In fact, I would say, George, this reminded me a lot of when Vince Young came into the NFL, looking for one guy, and if that guy's not open, just taking off and running, which is good for fantasy, but you know, I don't know if it's good for the 49ers. He was only 9 for 18, 157 passing yards. This was all at the end of the game, 41 rushing yards. So fantasy purposes, this guy could be a star. I just don't know if he's going to be good in the NFL. Trey Sermon, 89 rushing yards. And then Brett Levy knows this for sure, my very favorite fantasy football player going into the season, who is just crushing it for me, is Deebo Samuel. 8 receptions, 156 yards, 2 touchdowns. He's had 2 monster weeks out of the 4. The other 2 weeks have been pretty good too. And George, Trey Lance just basically looked for Deebo and no one else. So it was like, even Juszczyk out of the backfield or Deebo Samuel, and I'm not throwing anyone else, which is great for Deebo. But boy, the 49ers are sort of up against it. So let's touch on Seattle real quick and go to San Francisco. Your takeaways on both.
All right, as for Seattle, I think what they're missing in this offense is that, you know, they can either go long or short. They don't have the intermediary guy. I think that's what they're missing here. They don't have that kind of wide receiver. You know, Metcalf and Lockett can blow the tops off defenses. They need someone to run the intermediary routes. I think they're missing that. And I think it's going to be a big problem. They've been missing that for a little while, actually. That's not something you're going to be able to develop midseason. It's not going to happen. You're not going to be able to trade for it. I don't think anybody's trading you a wide receiver. So it's something you need to find in the offseason, but I think that's what's hurting this offense right now. They can go bombs away with you, but they can't get the stuff over the middle right now. I think that's their issue there. Hopefully it fixes. And that defense, by the way, has some issues. Seattle's going to play a lot of high-scoring games. As for San Fran, I'm not going to knock Lance. All right, I'm not going to knock Lance because the game plan wasn't for him. It was for Garoppolo. Let's see what he does this week now when the game plan is for him. You know, they do have his his packages in there. We'll see what happens there. I do think, though, Jimmy G himself said last night he expected to miss a couple of weeks. Once again, it's right after the game. You're in pain. We'll see here. He got stepped on in his calf, so that's the issue there. We know from Jimmy G's history, he gets hurt a lot. Doesn't come back too quick. So this may be the last we've seen of Jimmy G. Sorry, Chris Ventura. All right, maybe the last we've seen of him. Maybe it is the Trey Lance show from here on out, which I think is what San Fran has to do anyway. Unless Lance bombs this week, I think we've seen the last of Jimmy G.
Very possible. And probably ends up as a quarterback on some other team next year, no doubt. Let's move on to the marquee game of the week, which was Tampa Bay and New England. As George mentioned earlier, the weather was not great, but I thought it was a fun game for the most part. And normally I don't stay up and watch the entire Sunday night game, but I did to the end for sure. Tom Brady yesterday, just 269 passing yards. Tough day for him. Leonard Fournette, 91 on the ground. He was replaced by Ronald Jones at the goal line, and Jones scored a touchdown last night. Mike Evans was targeted a ton with no Gronk in there. He had 7 receptions for 75 yards. Antonio Brown almost scored a late touchdown in this one, but he'll settle for 13 fantasy points, 7 for 63. Now, on the side of New England, nothing really all that surprising. They stayed in the game, almost won it, but Nick Foles, his kick went off the crossbar that ended the game. For Mac Jones, pretty good performance, 31 of 40. He completed 20 in a row at one point, 275 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick. Jacoby Myers, 8 for 70, very solid. Also threw 2 passes and completed both. Kendrick Bourne, 5 for 58. Hunter Henry scored a touchdown, 4 receptions, and 32 yards in this game. So this was not the offensive performance, George, that people were looking for from the Bucs. This certainly was not the game that the public thought was going to happen, which this was probably the most bet game on the board with the Bucks covering and winning by a lot, which didn't happen. New England covered the spread. But given the circumstances with the weather and just how nervous everybody had to be, I'm sure on both sides, no Gronk for Tampa Bay too. Tampa Bay just very fortunate to escape with a win.
Oh, yeah. I think that's the right term there. Like, listen, ugly wins are better than pretty losses. You got your win, you get the hell out of there. I thought Belichick might have made a mistake here. 4th and 3, 56-yard field goal in the what was it, pouring rain all night here. I think you have to go for that. Not to mention, even if you kick the field goal, you're going to give Brady about 55 seconds left with 2 timeouts to beat you on his field goal of his own here. So I thought that's the first thing that stood out for me. I thought Belichick made a mistake here. And, you know, Joe Lisi on Football Full Circle brought up, does he make the same call in the same situation if Tom Brady was his quarterback?
I would doubt that. I would doubt that. Probably a little bit of an indictment on the rookie quarterback for sure. All right, coming up next, we got fantasy or reality. Also, Dolphins giving an update on Will Fuller, who left the game yesterday injured. So we'll give you that update when we come back. There's plenty more fantasy sports today coming up. So stay on the grid. George and I will be right back here on this. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Follow us on social media on Twitter at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV for the latest news, notes, and information going around all of our fun shows here, which include The Early Line, The Morning After, of course, Fantasy Sports Today, Game Time Decisions, Scott Farrell as well. So follow us on Twitter at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV. NFL Network, George, reporting that Will Fuller broke a finger in yesterday's game. I know Fuller is unfortunately no stranger to injuries, and wide receiver in general can't play with a broken finger. So the Dolphins, George, who are really up against it, probably going to be missing another weapon this week, unfortunately, for them.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could play with a broken finger. You sort of tape it together, but, boy, you need your hands to catch. That's not good. Not good at all. I expect them to miss some time here. Disappointing. You know, they're certainly disappointing for the Dolphins as a whole here. Season's not going the way they thought it would go. And I don't want to say they're in a must-win next week, but you're pretty close to it, and you're not going to have Fuller, who is your major free agent addition.
Yeah, and they thought he'd be a big part of it. They thought Tua would be a big part of it, too. Tua's going to miss one more week, and then they'll get him back in 2 weeks. All right, time to turn it over to our producer, Brett Levy, for this Monday's Fantasy or Reality.
All right, well, today we're starting on the football field because the San Francisco 49ers took the genie out of the bottle yesterday and had to put Trey Lance on the field in the second half. So, George, we'll start with you. After his 2-touchdown performance yesterday, Trey Lance will start the rest of the season for the 49ers. Is this a fantasy or reality?
Yeah, I think out of all the rookie quarterbacks, Trey Lance was always going to be the tough one to predict, mainly because this was a good team, right? The Niners were a good team. They got burned last year because everybody and their mother got hurt on that team, all right? They traded up to get Lance, but you had Jimmy G. Now, I'm not a big Jimmy G guy, but he's an NFL quarterback. And what I mean by that is, hey, I'm not saying he's a great NFL quarterback, but he's an NFL quarterback, a guy who can lead you to victory here. He has brought them to a Super Bowl, but you traded up for Lance. He was always going to start. It was a matter of when. I always thought it would be by Halloween. Well, the time is now. Jimmy G got hurt, opened it up for you. I think Lance starts, and unless he completely bombs, Craig, and I mean bombs, Jimmy G is done in San Francisco. I think you said it earlier. He'll be with another team next season. Maybe if he gets traded at the deadline. I doubt that. But who knows, maybe. But yes, I'm going to say this is a reality. Trey Lance will start the rest of the season for the 49ers.
Yeah, based on what I saw yesterday, I'm going to say fantasy. There is no way that Trey Lance can play like he played yesterday and stay on the field the entire season. It's not going to happen. I mean, it reminds me again of Vince Young or G3, guys who just basically like had one option, no check down, and just, you know, immediately running. In this day and age of the NFL, players bigger, faster, stronger. Lance inevitably is going to be a star in the league, but I just don't think that you can constantly run. And by the way, run straight up the middle without getting hurt. Still a long way to go in the season. It's not like, you know, George, your target for Halloween was a really good one, but I mean, we still got three more games until Halloween. So I'm going to say fantasy, and I'm not wishing an injury, but I think I think some circumstance will force him out of a game, unfortunately, this year, unless he just decides to throw more. And play like Kyler Murray. I mean, Kyler Murray runs around a lot, but he's running toward the sidelines a lot, not straight up the middle. You're going to get hurt doing it that way. So I'm going to say fantasy. I think that either Garoppolo or someone else starts a game. I don't think Lance starts every game the rest of the season. I'm going to say fantasy.
All right. Well, our next question, we're heading over to the diamond. The Angels are eliminated. Their season is over. But Shohei Ohtani had a year to remember. He's a free agent at the end of next season, and he's made some interesting comments about potentially wanting to play for a winner, and also said he'd be open to renegotiating with the Angels. So, Craig, we'll start with you for this one. The Angels will do the right thing. They won't let Ohtani get to the free agent market. Shohei Ohtani will sign a new deal with the Angels this offseason. Craig, is this a fantasy or reality?
Angels are in a really tough spot because they want to allocate as much money as they can toward pitching. It is really staggering when you think about the win-loss record of the Angels with all of the assets they have, the money they've given to Mike Trout, the money they've given to Justin Upton, he's coming off the books, the money they've given to Anthony Rendon, the money that they're going to have to give to Shohei Ohtani, and really none of it was allocated toward pitching. Even Joe Maddon is one of the highest paid managers in baseball. So this is a reality. They're going to have to do it, but either they're going to have to trade from a position of strength to get some pitching, or they're just going to basically have to be what the Dodgers are in Los Angeles and spend an insane amount of money. Now, as I said, Upton is not going to get paid forever. That was a terrible deal that they gave him, clearly, George, but got to get some pitching there besides Ohtani, and right now they have none.
Oh, they have no choice. They have to sign Ohtani. All right, you're talking about the guy is likely to win the MVP. He can pitch, he can hit. He's a draw, a major draw. How much money are they raking in because he's on that team, right, with all those home games? Forget it. They will absolutely sign him. The only way I can say fantasy this is that, well, Brett, you did say this offseason. I don't know if it'll be this offseason. This is a monster deal. They don't have to do it this offseason. They could wait. And with the new CBA coming in, maybe they wait for that as well. So I guess if I want to play lawyer, sure, I could say, well, it's a fantasy because of that. But there is no doubt in my mind that Ohtani will be an Angel. They'll have to sign until, I don't know, and maybe when it does happen, the biggest deal that's happened at that time, $300 million, $400 million, whatever it might be. I don't think they want him to eclipse Trout. So I forget what his deal is, somewhere around $350 offhand. It'll be less than that. Yeah. But that's what he's going to command here. And if not, he'll get it from someplace else very easily. But he wanted to be on the West Coast. So I think what his noise about playing for a winner is just a little bit of noise here. He wants to get a negotiating ploy. I'll agree with Craig. I would be floored. I mean, floored if he's not wearing a halo in a couple of years.
All right. Our last one, the Wonder Years had a reboot that launched last week. We missed it, but George, we knew you were coming back today, so we had to get this in there. It's being produced by Fred Savage. I believe he was on the original Wonder Years. So, George, we'll start with you for this one. The Wonder Years reboot will be successful. Is this a fantasy or reality?
Will it be successful? I'll say, yeah, it will be successful. I think it has enough nostalgia where people will watch. It's not my kind of show. I generally don't watch much regular TV anyway. It's not sports related, so probably not for me. I watch crime shows anyway if I do watch regular TV. So I'll say it will be successful, though, because I think it'll have that nostalgia people want to see. The Wonder Years, the original show with Fred Savage, I think I might have watched the first season back in the day, and it does bring back memories of how things used to be. I think it'll be successful year one. I think it's tough to for year two, for year three, to keep that kind of nostalgia up. overseas. I think that's where their problem will be. So I think year one, they're good. After that, I think you'll see the ratings decline, which is not saying much. Most shows do.
Yeah, I'll say reality. I could see it being successful, and I think that you painted the picture here, probably for a period of time, 1 year, 2 years. Now, the Wonder Years, when it was on in the 80s, was on, I know, for 4 or 5 years, and it was very successful. And then, of course, the kids grow up, and it's just not as interesting. It's kind of how a lot of shows work. But, you know, for the sake of it, I'll say yes, it'll work a year or two. It sort of reminds me of what they did. I think it's on ABC, if I'm not mistaken, what they did with that show, The Goldbergs, where they went back into the 80s and got a pretty good cast together. I believe that show is still on the air, if I'm not mistaken. So you're talking about 5, 6 years of that being on the air, too. So I will say successful, at least mildly. By the way, George, were you a Sopranos fan? Did you ever? I forget about. I mean, sometimes you're either all in or you're all out. So I don't recall. Were you a Sopranos fan? Did you watch that show?
Yeah, I'm very weird when it comes to TV. Now, I didn't watch it when it first came on. I did binge it eventually years ago before binging became popular. So a fan depends how you define fan. I do not think it's the greatest thing that ever lived, like so many people do. Good show. I enjoyed it. Good show. But I don't think it's the greatest thing I ever watched. No.
So did you catch the Many Saints of Newark on HBO or HBO Max this weekend? Did you happen to see it?
No, not yet. I will. I'm not avoiding it. I will watch it. I'm actually wondering if my wife wants to watch it with me, but I don't think she's ever seen The Sopranos. Certainly didn't watch it with me. Not her kind of show. My wife likes to have something to root for, a good guy. Like, she would never watch Sons of Anarchy. Even The Shield would be tough for her because, let's face it, they were all bad guys. Shields, maybe a top five show, a top three show for me. Fantastic. But there's no one to root for. Except in that show, you know, Craig, you and I have kids. If one of our kids was ever kidnapped, Vic Mackey's the guy, if I get him interested, that I want going after it. Because he'll get the job done. He's going to do everything he can. The problem is he's going to take everything he can during the process. But a great show, The Shield.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I did catch it this weekend. I thought it was terrible. I thought the Sopranos prequel was awful. Yeah, just I did it. And again, I can sit through 2 hours of just about anything and think it's okay. But after 30 minutes, and I thought I was sold 20, 30 minutes into being good, and it just didn't get anywhere, unfortunately for me, in 2 hours. I was just definitely not a fan of that, for sure. Okay, George, let's get into baseball here a little bit. We thought that maybe we'd have four teams tied for the American League wild card and just have some craziness, and we did not. But it is the ultimate showdown coming up tomorrow night. I mean, can you sleep? Can you eat? It's Yankees and Red Sox tomorrow, George, for the right to move on in the postseason. I mean, does it get better than this?
It's fun. Certainly brings back nostalgia. 78, the one-game playoff. I think I was 9 years old. So remember. Excuse me, I'm dying here. Just like the Yankees choking this weekend. So I'm certainly looking forward to it tomorrow. That being said, yeah, I'm sort of that guy. Maybe I'm the spoiled Yankee fan. All right? It's like World Series a bust for the Yankees. Nothing. Back in the day, once again, I hate always doing this, but back in the day, making the playoffs was a huge thing. Right? You made the playoffs. Wow! You know, nowadays, they make the playoffs every year. All right, well, what are we doing with it? They're not going to the World Series. They're not beating Tampa Bay next round. That's who the Yankees or Red Sox would play. They'll play Tampa Bay. Yankees couldn't beat Tampa Bay over the weekend in New York when it meant nothing to the Rays. All right, they're going to beat them this week? No, it's not happening. The house of horrors that is Tampa Bay for the Yankees. I do want them to beat Boston. Of course I do. But to be honest, whatever, you know, monetarily I might have on tomorrow night's game will be more important to me than the game itself. I don't think the Yankees are going anywhere here. They did beat the crap out of Boston and Fenway a couple of weekends ago. Well, 2 weekends ago. They beat up Eovaldi in one of those. Cole did pitch in that series as well. He's not the same pitcher since the hamstring injury. I believe his ERA is just south of 7 since that hamstring injury. He does get an extra day's rest here. Maybe that plays into this for the Yankees' favor. Bullpen will be good. I think the Yankees win tomorrow. I do. Everything's in their favor outside of playing in Fenway, but I think that's about as far as they'll go.
Yeah, they have not had a lot of success in St. Petersburg, no doubt. And the Rays were playing against the Yankees, really, up until Sunday. It felt like the Rays finally took their foot off the pedal Sunday just because they were like, oh my gosh, if we use everybody up here come Thursday, we may have some guys unavailable. So they finally like pulled back a little bit. But, man, they did not let up at all Friday and Saturday trying to knock them out.
They didn't care.
On Sunday. But Friday and Saturday, they definitely did. They played hard those 2 days. Okay, we'll take a quick time out here on the show. We got the Sports Grid 60 coming up next. As a reminder, George and I will be right back here tomorrow. We'll preview that game between the Yankees and Red Sox. We'll take a look at the DFS and player props for tomorrow night. And our first look at the NHL season. I know George has a draft tomorrow night in fantasy, so I'm clueless on that. I'll get educated on Tuesday's show. We'll be back with more fantasy sports today. Next, stay on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Jacksonville Jaguars head coach Urban Meyer apologized for a video that went viral this weekend of Urban Meyer out and about having a good time. Said that it affected his family. Apologized for it being a distraction on the team. I don't know if that's a good topic for George. We'll see what he's got in his mind as we end the show with the Sports Grid 60.
All right. You know, I referee men's hockey games, and I bring this up because when the NFL was talking about maybe we should have reviewing penalties, I didn't like the idea, you know, because I don't think penalties should be reviewed because as a ref, I know sometimes I'm purposely letting certain things go for both teams, holding, whatever it might be. I'm just letting it go. But after watching the NFL the first 4 weeks, I think they do have to review personal fouls to see if it really is 15-yard personal foul. It's getting ridiculous yesterday. We saw it again. We saw it in the Cowboy game. I think it was Kazee got nailed for a personal foul for a hit to the head. Didn't touch him in the head. It was pure shoulder to shoulder. And the Washington football game, Chase Young got nailed. Once again, hitting Matt Ryan in the head. Didn't hit him in the head. 15 yards. I'm really not a big fan of the idea, but if you're hitting 15 yards for these officials just seem to be calling it any kind of hard hit, now it's throwing the flag without even really thinking here. Without really seeing the play here, it's starting to get annoying here. I'm starting to come around to maybe we should be reviewing personal fouls.
All right, George, I'm going to end with a congratulations. Congratulations to all of the Fantasy Baseball 2021 champions, Rotisserie League Baseball. You're talking about one of the hardest things to do to win a Fantasy Baseball championship, to start back up in February, March, prepare, and then play this out for 6 months just to get yourself a fantasy baseball championship. For me, something that's eluded me in a lot of these expert leagues, but I know how difficult it is to play this from start to finish. So just want to mention, if you did win a league, you have a lot to be proud of today, that's for sure. Thank you to Connell over at LTN. Thank you, of course, to Danny and Ryan, and for my producer, Brett Levy. Thank you so much as well. Thanks to George for hopping in here in the final hour of the show. I'm Craig Mish. See you tomorrow at noon. Have a great day, everybody, here on Sports Grid.
There are a lot of sports talk networks out there, but we're the one that gives you actionable insights on gaming, odds,
and more.
The others?